broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Grand at Wild Horse Pass for Conscious Capitalism 2019. It's time for CEO Exclusive. Now, here's your host, Sweeney Cope.
I'm so excited to be interviewing Kit Hughes, CEO of Look Listen, one of the Atlanta stalwarts who's made it to the Conscious Capitalism Conference this year. Kit, I am so delighted to have you on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, start off by telling us a little bit about Look Listen and what you do.
So we have been doing what we do for over 10 years, and that sort of classifies us as this. We've almost figured it out a decade in, but we're a mashup of a digital ad agency and a consulting company. So most often we'll be hired by somebody in the marketing organization to come in and think through, say, an ad campaign. But then we find ourselves solving much bigger problems, sometimes organizational things, sometimes developing new products and new service lines. And so that's kind of where we fall into the consulting side of the house.
So one of the things that we've been talking about on the show is how do we get the 645,000 mid-market CEOs in the country that are like you, who don't know about conscious capitalism, to know about conscious capitalism. So for people who may not be familiar with this idea, this movement, the words are a little clumsy. Why is it that you've chosen to take your very, very valuable CEO time to be at this conference for 3 days?
Yeah, so it goes back a little bit. So I ran my company according to conscious capitalism principles for a number of years. And then I had a decision point a couple of years ago where I had looked and I had seen how I'd spent the past 10 years of my life and the types of clients that we had, the type of people that worked for us, this broader stakeholder community, as we even refer to it in conscious capitalism. And there was a lot of success. There was good times and bad times, normal business times, you know. And I really felt like I wanted to spend the next 10 years a little bit differently. Didn't mean that I wanted a different job or that I needed to throw this company away. But I wanted to get more formal about conscious capitalism and giving my employees something to sort of grab onto. Because as an entrepreneur, sometimes you find yourself coming in off the weekend or off of a retreat with other entrepreneurs, and you have all these great ideas, and everybody dreads the Monday that you come back from those kind of trips. And so I wanted to give my employees something that was much more tangible, that wasn't just like, oh, this is the sort of the track that he's on right now. And so as I looked to how the company would continue to develop over another 10 years, I looked at other things like B Corps, and it just there was something about conscious capitalism, the amount of academic writing that was behind it and studies, and it aligned with my own personal beliefs and those that I was trying to instill in Look Listen. And by sort of referencing this external framework and literally our management team, we bought them copies of the book. In our town halls, I talk about conscious capitalism and how we map to the four pillars. And so why conscious capitalism is it's a big question. That's kind of our path to adopting it. But it just resonated with me on a deep, deep level. And it was substantive enough for me to really latch onto it as an entrepreneur, but then bring it into our company.
It's interesting. You use the word formality, which I think is an interesting concept, because you started to articulate it, but I would love for you to maybe deepen why you think the formality is important, because some of the CEOs I've spoken to have been like, yeah, I do this already. I do this already. I believe in this already. I don't need some outside organization to tell me about this. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, so tell me if I don't get at what you want me to here, but I'll tell you that I just take my job very seriously. I take the power that a CEO's role has.
How many people you have working for you?
So right now we're in the low 40s, full-time employees, and the largest we've ever been is 50. And that's you look at the people that have come to us and worked for us for a little while and then left, and we've had some people come back, which is really exciting when someone says, I worked for you at one point, and I went out and explored other paths and came back. It's a real validation of the culture that we have. But I take this job really seriously, and to think that there is something that is thought through in the Credo, the Four Pillars, these other books that are written around this as a framework and as a movement, to me that brings a lot of credibility. And it's not a I've never really answered the question this way because nobody's asked me around the formality side and why it's important. But I think I'm a little self-conscious. I don't have a normal sort of business pedigree, and
most entrepreneurs don't. The successful ones.
Yeah, most entrepreneurs don't. And I went to art school, and I found myself for instance, I was meeting with a good friend of mine who's a cybersecurity consultant, and we take cybersecurity very seriously at our company. We've installed a lot of measures to protect data, and it's starting to become contractually obligated because of things like GDPR. And so this friend of mine, as we were reviewing the measures we had put into place, he said, "You have no idea how far ahead you guys are from companies that are even larger, three times the size of you." And I said, "Yeah, because I feel like I have something to prove that we need to take this very, very seriously." And so when I think about our culture as a company, our leadership, our purpose in the world, it all really aligns around conscious capitalism. And I think that I loved that the fact that if we needed to send somebody to a conference or to latch on to some type of, I keep referring to it as a framework. It's a mm-hmm. thought process. It's really an inspiration for how you can run your company. There are plenty of other very operational manuals, but this gets at something that's so much deeper, so much unbelievably deeper, and I love that personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we think about consciousness, we talk about the consciousness and bringing that awareness, bringing that formality to the process. But talk to me about the capitalism part.
Yeah.
talk to me about the capitalism part, because as I was mentioning before the interview, sometimes this gets lumped in with corporate social responsibility and philanthropy and do-gooderism.
Yeah.
And people don't necessarily see the tie to profitability and the capitalism piece.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I would love to. This is actually, it's part of my own sort of personal journey and struggle. So I was a huge fan of punk music and played in bands, and one of the core tenets of punk is this rejection of capitalism and this this very absolutist idea that all capitalism is bad. And I think I had to really reconcile that in my own mind. And one of the things that I found so inspiring about conscious capitalism is that it embraces free enterprise capitalism as this significant creation of us as human beings, and how along the way, post-industrial revolution, we've actually kind of lost our way in capitalism, and it's been really sort of hijacked in a way by people that don't recognize their broader stakeholder community. And this has been going on for decades. But I had to first personally reconcile the fact that capitalism has not only good aspects of it, again, from that sort of the punk rock background, but that the more natural and the beautiful exhibition of capitalism is the conscious aspect, and the fact that if you do run a company with these principles in mind, you're treating your people fairly. It's this win-win-win-win type of mindset in which the community you exist in, your people, owners, shareholders, all these people that we generally refer to as stakeholders can benefit. It can be a mutually beneficial. It doesn't have to be one-sided. And so I think once I really thought about how I wanted, as we built our company and we recruited people to come join us, that this is why I said I kind of have been running the company according to these principles for a few years, that I really wanted for us as a company, anybody that knew of us, our reputation, that would come and decide to, make their money by working for LookListen, that they would identify and say that not only is this conscious, but it's all, you know, there's no question that this is a money-making enterprise in which we must, and we're self-funded, by the way. Mm. So we actually have to hit a level of profitability in order to continue to self-fund and to not have someone else telling us what to do with their money. And so I think once I unloaded that baggage from the punk rock days and saw that this could actually be an instrument for good, and not just this idea of philanthropy where it's a handout, but actually you can truly choose how to run your business, and doing it this way is very inclusive and it can be quite inspiring. And we've stated our purpose as a company is to unlock and unleash potential. That I don't say anything about marketing or advertising or product development in that statement, because that's the what we do. And that's why I struggle sometimes when somebody says, tell me about your company and what you do. I really want to start with the purpose. And,
I should ask, you know, that's a great idea. What I want to start doing, and I'll probably, listeners, I'll incorporate that into the remaining interviews, is like ask people to start off with what their higher purpose is.
Yeah, yeah. And we truly believe that, to unlock and unleash potential. And that is the potential of our people that are working at Look Listen. That's the potential of our clients. And we often see things as even sort of peak performance. And that's like an athletic term in which...
Or being in flow.
Being in flow state, yeah.
I love flow.
Yeah, absolutely. And so helping people sort of achieve that. And helping companies achieve that too. And yes, of course, what we do is we do ad campaigns and we help people with, you know, product development, and we do marketing materials and message platforms and all that kind of stuff. But to me, that's where you start to commodify what you do as a company, when you go back to that purpose, mm-hmm. And the power that holds. And ultimately, me as an entrepreneur, I want to improve the human condition.
Mm.
I absolutely want to do that. And right now, and with this current company, it manifests itself as a marketing consultant. But you track it back to that higher purpose, then down the road it can be additional things, or with other companies it can be additional things. But that's what I'm personally inspired to do, and I feel quite quite lucky to have a group of people that have come to work at our company that also embrace that vision, and that they've chosen to sort of say, okay, well, we'll inherit that as our purpose as well, and bring that in. And that's what, you know, you get out of bed. The purpose is what you get out of bed in the morning. What gets you out, what really drives you.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. This is another new thought, which I think is fascinating, that maybe, just maybe, the power of conscious capitalism is it does get people into flow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, or if you read From Good to Great, has this passage where he talks about like, the teams that go from good to great. Maybe it's Bold. No, it's Bold by Peter Diamandis. Wrong book.
I haven't read Bold.
Yeah. Wrong book. Sorry, y'all. But Bold, he talks about what happens when teams get into flow.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And that's when you get the exponential performance.
Yes.
And I think that's probably what it is. This is a framework that probably pretty systematically gets companies and people close to flow, because when they're, you know, feel like they're doing something that matters to them, and when they're being well treated and they know that they're not hurting any of the stakeholders, or they're considering all the stakeholders, it has people come together in a particular way.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to me. And I worked at a really big company for a little while. And I always had this naive impression, or really an assumption, that our enemies it's our competition. And what you find in some companies is that you're actually, your greatest enemy are people from other areas inside of your own company.
Mm.
It's another function. I talk a lot about the alignment of sales and marketing, and how these two groups inside of the same company can be the most dysfunctional group of people working together, and yet the company's success depends on these two groups working together. And if we can overcome those hurdles, and if we can see each other as human beings and rallied around a purpose and a common objective or a set of goals, then you're able to achieve that next level. But if you look at your company's trailing successes, that's as good as it's ever going to get until your people really sort of break through and work together in a more powerful way. And we believe, you know, so much in things like DISC profiles that help you understand other people's communication styles, and how we We leverage those as a company and in our client engagements. But the
Heidi.
Heidi. I'm like right there on the line and middle way through, so I can kind of flex a bit. But it is amazing how most of the tensions occur that are tied to communication style. And if you can just learn someone else's and understand when you need to be flexing, and we've just noticed so many tensions like that. And when you look at something like conscious capitalism, it is about breaking down those barriers, not judging, not jumping to judgment, and being able to work with these other human beings. And I mean, when I started thinking about our stakeholder, sort of the beyond just, you know, me and my co-founder, and then our families, and it expanded. Of course, it's our people. Well, if it's our people, then it's their families, mm-hmm. and then if it's them, it's also our clients and their families and the communities that they work in. And you really have a mindset shift when it really just starts to expand your own consciousness, you know, which is something that, you know, we all have to work on as individuals. But when you can go through that process with a company, that's pretty powerful.
It's amazing. Last question. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you for a thousand years, but you want to go hear the speakers. Somebody's hearing about conscious capitalism for the first time. What would you tell them?
You didn't pick an easy one there at the end. What would I tell them? Okay, I would tell them, imagine a version of business in which great ideas are the only thing that the company created, and that the means to the end of those great ideas was everyone working together. And that you didn't have to necessarily worry about your cash position because the way you operated your company in this way made you more profitable than other companies. And that this version of capitalism and this way of doing business is something that is ultimately fruitful and pays off for everyone. And now that sounds pretty utopic, but I would say there's this old saying. Well, we're not doing this for our health. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about like, I'm going to retire one day because I'm not doing this for my health. What if you were? Mm-hmm. What if you were doing it for your health? What if working at a company that adopted all these conscious capitalism principles really actually made you a healthier individual? It made you healthier emotionally, spiritually, financially. Like that's a pretty compelling proposition. Like that's a company I want to work at. That's a company I want to run. And so I would say that conscious capitalism, that's the description of a perfect conscious capitalism company.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kit.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. See you in Atlanta.
Yes.
That was such a good interview. Oh, my God.
You asked the best.